The lesson that I plan to bring tonight would address the fact that the Bible has shown its inspiration by what it does not say. And as I feel, these lessons are quite interesting and enlightening. That one will also be an interesting and enlightening lesson, but it will not be brought tonight because I feel that there are some other things relative to the subject of inspiration that probably need to be brought forth or clarified before that lesson is shared with you. So tonight, we look on, you know, the Bible, the marks of inspiration. And as I've said, we will not be looking on what its proof of inspiration by what it doesn't say. There are some other things that two or three points, could be 4 points, that we want over the next 20 to 30 minutes to share with you, so that as these are shared, you will be more enlightened. When we speak of inspiration, what is meant is that the Almighty God had a direct involvement in the Bible being the book that it is, and in the Bible reaching us. That it's no accident and it's no man thing that the Almighty God, through His divine power and wisdom, wants what is found in the Bible to be there, and that not only God wanted it to be there, but God saw to it that whatever we read in the Bible, God wanted it there. I anticipate running through your mind that, but Brother Mitchell, some words from Satan are in the Bible. Yes, God wanted those words from Satan in the Bible. Those words from Satan are not God-inspired words. But God inspired the inspired writer to write Satan words. So, be mindful of that. Now, inspiration. One of the first things I address tonight is the fact that there is no record anywhere of any divinely inspired writings before the days of Moses. I need to repeat that. But brother, well, let me repeat it. There is no record anywhere that there existed any divinely inspired writing from God before the time of Moses. You might be thinking that great men like Yes, great men like Abraham, great men like Jacob, great men like Joseph, and all these great men like Noah, they lived before Moses, and they did speak, and God spoke to them. Yes. But remember what we are dealing with here. That there is no record anywhere to be found that there is any inspired writings from any of these men before Moses. No. Not only that, but there is no archaeological discovery that would show that there is any inspired writing from God through any of these men. Look with me to 1. We have a clear and definite record that Moses wrote the word of God. That is found in Exodus 24 and verse 4. Let us have it.
And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord.
And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord.
And rose up early in the morning.
You may stop there. I'm just running down to establish certain things. That there are statements to the effect of some of these people who wrote or spoke the word of God. Moses. In fact, probably what I should have first done is give you Exodus chapter 17 and verse 14. Probably I intend, of course, to probably further down in the lesson give you that passage. But let us, since, because it's probably more relevant that I brought, that it be brought here. Exodus 17:14, read it for me.
And the Lord said unto Moses.
And the Lord said unto Moses.
Write this for a memorial in a book.
Write. Are you all there? This is the very first time that the word write appears in the Bible. I repeat, this is the very first time in all of God's dealing with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Lot, there is not one record or implication that God told any of them to write anything. None of them. In fact, further down in the lesson, I'm going to be showing that this is where the Bible got started. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Other than the truth of the Bible existing in the mind of God. But this right here, where God commanded Moses to write, this was at Mount Sinai. And if my memory serves me right, remember the lesson, the tired hands of Moses. It was out of that situation that God told Moses to record what had happened between Israel and the enemies of Israel with whom Israel was fighting. The first time, you search the Bible and you will find writing occurs no other place before this. But I'll say a little more. So let's get back. I have just pointed out that we have clear and definite records that Moses wrote God's word. The brother read that in the book of Exodus 24 and verse 7. We have record that David wrote his psalm. We have that in 2 Samuel 23. 1 and 2. Let us hear it.
Now these be the last words of David.
These be the last words of David.
David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the Lord, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me.
The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, or speak to me.
And his word was in my tongue.
And God's word was in my tongue. So we know that David's writing was inspired. This passage just read from 2 Samuel 23, 1 and 2 is in fact showing that. We have words that Luke wrote his gospel. Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 4. Let us have it.
For as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning...
Even these people who were eyewitnesses, Luke is saying, they delivered the truth of what happened to us. Read, brother.
Which from the beginning were eyewitnesses.
That's right. From the beginning they were eyewitnesses. Read.
And ministers of the word.
They were ministers of the word. That is the word to which they were eyewitness. Read.
It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order.
To write unto you in order. God is a God of order. And Luke was a physician, organized. So he said, I'm writing, I'm not just writing, I'm putting it in order. Each point I am sharing with you, I'm putting them in their right places.
Most excellent Theophilus.
Most excellent Theophilus. But not only Moses, David, Luke. We have words that John wrote the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Let us have it.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto servant John.
That's right. The revelation of Jesus which he has shown are given to John. So all these inspired writer is authenticating their inspiration. telling us that the Holy Spirit, our God, was with them, guiding them. But watch here now. Although they were godly, holy men in the pre-Moses ages, we have Moses, We have Moses here. Well, these characters who lived before Moses, that is, the godly men who attempted to serve God by the knowledge they had then, men like Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, with whom the Almighty God had frequent verbal communication. We have record in the Bible that God spoke with them. You and I have read it. Yet we do not read anywhere that any one of these men was ever commanded and inspired by God to put God's word into writing. None of them. Even though we know God dealt with them, even though we know that Abraham was God's friend, even though we know that Abraham was a man of faith, there is no record anywhere that God has ever commanded any of them or inspired any of them to put what he said to them in writing. Nor is there any known record whatsoever that any inspired writing existed. I said writing existed this side of Moses. The first piece of inspired writing we have is Moses and onward. And it must be kept in mind. That must be kept in mind when we talk about inspiration. From the time of Moses, the inspired writing of the Bible, that is from the time of Moses, the inspired writing of the Bible as we have it today in the Bible, that is from Genesis, were constantly referred to by prophets, priests, kings, and other leaders as the final authority of appeal. That is from the time of Moses. The writing of Moses became the standard and the final authority of appeal. For example, we have in Joshua. Well, both Exodus and Joshua, but let's look at Joshua chapter 1, 7 and 8.
Only be thou strong and very courageous.
God, having commissioned Joshua to take over from Moses, the Almighty God said to Joshua, only be you strong and be courageous. Wait now. Do you know we need that today? We need to be strong in Jesus Christ. And you know another thing? We need not to be timid and frightened and fearful people. Only be thou
strong And very courageous.
And very courageous.
That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law.
You hear that? That you might do what, brother?
According to all the law.
That's right. That you might do according to all the law. That's the law God gave to Moses. That is not referring to anything that God said to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Unless what was said to them, God inspired Moses to write it down. He did not inspire Abraham to write down anything. He did not inspire Isaac, Jacob, Joseph to write down anything. He inspired Moses. So God said to Joshua, read again, brother. That writing, that on the...
That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law,
mm-hmm.
which Moses my servant commanded thee.
You notice God refer back not to Abraham, not to Isaac, not to Jacob, not to Joseph. Because the Almighty God knew that his inspired writing rather started with Moses. May I run with me, brother, to Jude chapter 1, verse 14. Well, most time we are asked to just say Jude 14. Because it has only one chapter. Well, since it has one chapter, I said chapter 1. That's right. Verse 14.
And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints.
Okay. Enoch prophesied. So when you read this, don't be misled by this. This is not written prophecy. This prophecy is unwritten. Enoch did not write anything. In fact, we are not even sure if writing at that time was known. That's right. The other point is that there, I said this in another form a few minutes ago. There is no remains or archaeological discovery of any such inspired writing previous to Moses. As I said, the first actual reference to writing is the passage which we read in Exodus 17:14. May I say a little more on Exodus 17:14? This Exodus 17:14, where for the first time we come up on the word write. This is where, on the heights of Mount Sinai, where this meek but great man Moses stood in the presence of the Almighty God and commenced, underline the word commenced, and commenced this great book, the Bible. Whatever God told Moses to write them, that's how comes the Bible started as a written book. Commenced the Bible, which was destined to outlive heaven and earth. Yes, this book, the Bible. Where did I get that from? I got that from 1 Peter chapter 1, 23 through 25. Luke 21:33. Let us hear these parts. Let us hear Luke first, 21:33.
Luke 21:33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
That's right. Let us hear 1 Peter and then 2 Peter. 1 Peter 1:23-25. And then 2 Peter 1:21-22. These passages are addressing the everlastingness of God's word. Let us hear it.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God.
By the word of God.
Which liveth and abideth forever.
Here we are told that the word of God lives and abides forever. Moses started the word of God in its written form at Mount Sinai when the Almighty God commissioned Moses to record the, I'm here being tempted to read, let me have Exodus again, brother. 17, and could you give me, we read verse 14. Could I have around verse 12 or somewhere there?
And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed.
I'm always fascinated by this great incident. And as in putting this lesson together, and I look over that passage again, I said it's time I revisit that lesson, the tired hands of Moses. Because one of the great principle in that, when Moses held up the rod in his hand and had it outstretched, Israel prevailed against what nation was it, brother? It stated there.
Against Amalek.
Against the Amalekites. But when Moses' hands got tired, naturally the man's hand going to get tired, and his hand go down, the Amalekites were winning the battle, the war. The Israelites were being killed, but the Israelites were God's people. How could God allow that? What this passage teach me in a dynamic way is that God's condition must be met. That's one of the great lessons. I preached this lesson at first in the big crusade in Independence City. And I preach it here once since, and it's time probably. You know that, but God, the man's hand get tired. It's not that Moses in defiance and arrogance and disobedience decided, say, sure, what if God, if you want to, us to win the battle, why do I have to hold up my hand? Nothing like that. The man held up the rod until his hand got tired. Your hand would get tired. Mine would get tired. And his hand fall, and as his hand get tired and fall, Israelites were dying. And the enemy nation of the Amalekites were winning. And then the Israelites realized that God's condition must be met. That's when I read this passage 18 years ago, that stuck in my mind. Don't play with God's standard and condition. In fact, sorry, I'm preaching that sermon, and I promise that I'm going to preach it sometime. Sorry. So that's the incident that brought us to verse 14.
And the Lord said unto Moses, write for this a memorial in a book,
mm-hmm.
and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for it will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.
That's right. There is another very important lesson here. Very important. And you know, the Almighty God had up something against Amalek, because Amalek tried to demolish the Israelites when they left Egypt. And God didn't forget that. The Israelites were the one to bring the Savior of mankind into the world. And Amalek wanted to defeat God's purpose. But tell me what. God intended that Joshua and Moses wipe them out, but they didn't succeed in wiping them out. And then when Saul came along, the Almighty God expected Saul to wipe them out, and they did not wipe them out. It was not until David came that the Amalekites, remember, when the Almighty God sent King Saul to kill, 1 Samuel chapter 16, kill suckling and babes and everything, it's a 400-year grudge God had against the Amalekites. That's right. And then Saul went and speared the best of the sheep and the best of the cows, to offer it to God. It was out of that situation we come and get to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen to God than the fat of rams. And all this is telling us how important it is that we listen to God's word. You know, let me get back to the lesson. No? That's right. So the Bible, which was destined to outlive heaven and earth, started here at Sinai when the Israelites confronted the Amalekites. We are told that heaven and earth will pass, but God's word shall not pass. Now, I know I've given you some other passage, but they are on the point. In fact, let us hear 2 Peter chapter 1, 21 and 22.
2 Peter chapter 1.
Yeah. 21 and 22.
There's only 21. There's no 22.
Okay. Well, probably I mixed that up with 1 Peter. Okay. Let's go on then. Over the century, there have been so-called claims to inspiration by writers and false prophets. I repeat, since Moses, in that ancient world, as well as in the time of the apostles, as well as in our time, there have been claims by writers and false prophets and religious leaders to inspiration. But brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, all of these writings that men and women have written and claim that they were inspired, all of these writings have been tried and found wanting. But God's inspired word has stood the test of time. God's inspired word has stood the test of unbelief. God's inspired word has stood the test of hatred. God's inspired word has stood the test of atheism and whatever else. So the psalmists can write in the book of Psalms 12 and verse 6 and 7. Let us hear it. Psalms 12, verse 6 and 7.
The words of the Lord are pure.
The words of God, they are pure.
Are pure words.
Pure words.
As silver tried in a furnace of earth.
As silver tried.
In a furnace of earth.
In a furnace.
Purified seven times.
Purified seven times. You see, it is telling us here, don't move, that God's word has stood the test of everything. Read on.
Thou shalt keep them.
Thou shalt keep them.
O Lord.
O Lord.
Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
Forever. That's God's word. One theologian said of God's word, in comparison to plain inspired man-made writings, this theologian said, the scriptures by their own weight crush all rival out of existence. I agree with that. The scriptures by their own weight have crushed all rival. What does he mean by that? All the claim of inspiration by false prophet and religious writer who claimed that their writings were inspired. God's word, by its very awesomeness, have crushed them out of existence. And that is a fact. I am wrapping up. But watch here. The wise response to God's word should be in fact, because God's word is inspired, because God's word is inspired, we have warning at the beginning of the Bible. That is in Deuteronomy. Not to add to it. We have warning in the middle of the Bible. That is Proverbs. Not to add to it. And we have warning at the end of the Bible. That is Revelation, not to add to God's word. Because it is inspired, that is, it is God breathed in, let it stay as God gives it. Isn't it striking? The beginning of the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, the middle of the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, and that is Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6. Deuteronomy, it is Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. In Revelation, it is Revelation 22, 18 and 19. In all of these passages, at the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, at the end of the Bible, we have the warning, don't interfere with God's word. So I get back to my point now that the wise way to respond to God's word is respond with belief, that is faith in it, reverence, that is respect for God's word, and obedience to God's word. That's the wise way to respond to it. Don't ever try to add or take away or interfere with it as God gives it. You know, interestingly, I must, before I finish, share this. You have read this already, but I'm not sure if you have put what you have read into perspective.
that we must not add or speak contrary to God's word.
There is one man in the Bible who was under inspiration. The Almighty God told him what to go and say. And he made repeated attempts to speak his own word for the sake of money.
God gave the man a simple message. That means he was inspired to go and deliver that message. And he made many attempts to speak his own word for the sake of money. Jude 11 touch on it.
Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam.
Notice how the word greed is attached to Balaam.
For reward.
God inspired Balaam to go and deliver a message. But because the Amorites or whatever the king was offering money and whatever else, he wanted to change God's word. You know what was really enlightening about this? He found that it was an absolute impossibility to go against what God said. Listen to him in 22 of the book of Numbers, chapter 22, verse 38.
And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything?
In the first place, he should have just simply gone before this and deliver God's message. But when he heard of the reward, and brothers and sisters, let us be careful how we say we are not Balaam. It's just Wednesday night, I think it came out, how we sell out Jesus Christ so many times. In many ways. We let this keep us away from worship, that keep us away. And there are many ways that we sell out Jesus Christ. Passage like this and an incident like Balaam is a lesson to us. You see, the message God gave him was simple. He didn't need any help to understand it. But the attraction of money, the Gentile nation offer him what and what they'll give if he curses Israel. And while I'm tempted to go to that passage in Joshua, we will not. And he wanted to go and curse Israel, even though the Almighty God had forbidden him. But he reached a point where he knew, he found out that it was impossible for him to go against God's inspired word. Read it again, brother.
And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any...
Wait. Have I now
any power at all to say anything?
You get what he's saying? I cannot go against God's word. I don't have any power to say what you want me to say, or even to say what I want to say. That is the power of inspiration. The Bible is inspired. Thank God for it.
We beg that you don't miss some other great lesson in the series that will be coming up over the next many weeks. If you are here tonight, you can submit yourself to the Word of God. It will not fail. Whatever promise God makes to you that He will remove your sin, He will make you one of His children, He will be with you as you go through life, He will help you with the challenges that you face, He will strengthen you if you depend on Him. The Almighty God will never go back on any of His promises. You can take God at His word because God's word is from God. As we stand and sing, you can come forward and give your life to Jesus Christ.